chapter number 17. So Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17. We will read the entire chapter. I will read the odd verses. And let's read the even verses together, please. So Revelation chapter 17. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the great whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. And we thank you that here in this book, you've unveiled some of the future for us to see. And God, as your people that are saved, it doesn't have to be a fearful thing. It's encouraging. Because God, we know at the end, you are victorious, and thus we are victorious. God, I pray that you'd please be with us. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds. Please be with our pastor as he preaches your word to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
All right. Thank you for that. We're in Revelation 17, and we're also going to briefly go through 17 and 18 tonight. We're going to look at Babylon. Now, we haven't been in Revelation for several weeks now. We have three more weeks left, tonight and two other weeks. Last time we were here, we went through the last of the three sets of judgments, the vial judgments. And really, when we saw the last vial judgment, that kind of signals the end. And what's happening in the last few chapters of Revelation, everything's kind of being cleaned up. Tonight we're going to look at the destruction of Babylon, and then after that we're going to look in the next two chapters, 19 and 20, at seven of the last events to come up, and then 20 and 21 we're going to look at eternity. And so we're at the very end of Revelation. A nation, we've heard of many, many times is Babylon. It's all throughout the Bible. As a city, it's the second, it's second in mentions to the Bible only to the city of Jerusalem. Babylon started with a man named Nimrod, in the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. In Revelation, when we hear of Babylon, it's going to represent two dominating aspects of the tribulation time. First, the false religious belief system, and second, a very forceful and a very fearful political system led by, of course, the Antichrist. And so these two chapters, we're going to see the final destruction of both of them. And these were the two systems that God used, the Antichrist and Satan used to kind of bring the world under his control. And by the way, that is not unparalleled. You kind of see that in our world today. That's what kind of everybody wants. They want everybody to be of one political belief system and one mind, and everybody just to have the same beliefs religiously, and just everybody get along. You see the little bumper sticker, I saw it today, the little coexist with all the different religious symbols. And that's fine, you can coexist, but that's not what they mean. They want everybody to just be together and forsake your beliefs for the sake of unity. But that is basically man-made, and it is not what God would want. And anything God opposes is doomed to failure. In this world has been around for about 6,000 years, evil has had some temporary success. False religion has had a lot of success. Evil world leaders have had success, even though they've trampled over others. But guess what? Their time is coming to an end. And it's all kind of pictured in the destruction we're going to see tonight of Babylon. We see the destruction of Babylon in both of its aspects in chapter 17 and chapter 18. In chapter 17, we will see the destruction of the religious Babylon. And in chapter 18, we will see the destruction of the political Babylon. So let's look, first of all, in the destruction of the religious Babylon. Many times in the Bible, religious belief, whether good or bad, is pictured as a woman. We are pictured, the church, as the bride of Christ. It's not unusual. We see this particular woman is not pictured as a bride of Christ, a woman waiting to be married, which you have good thoughts about that. No, you see the mother of harlots. That's not a good picture. That's how God sees false religion, particularly this one. Now again, when you see the word Babylon in the Bible, it's a code word. Let's not think of it specifically here. When we think of Wall Street, what do you think of? Do you? You don't think of a street in New York? You think of financial center, right? When you think of Madison Avenue, what do you think of? Actually, Madison Avenue is right around the corner here in Dominguez. Did you know that? Like Washington and Madison. But we think of commercialism, right? Madison Avenue. And we don't think of the specific street. So when we say Babylon, what are we thinking of? Well, in chapter 17, we're thinking of a false political belief system, one that started in the book of Genesis with Nimrod. Turn back to Genesis. I do want you to see a few verses here. Genesis chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse 8 through 10. Genesis chapter 10, verse 8. Okay, for those of you that work on staff, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Just go to the front of the Bible and hang right. Okay. Verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. In a sense, a wannabe world ruler. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, or Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Now look at Genesis chapter 11. This is where we see the Tower of Babel. He wanted to be a world ruler, and with the Tower of Babel, I believe he was trying to build a false religion to go with it. And the whole world was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. That's where Nimrod had set up. Okay? And they dwell there, and they said one to another, go to, let us build brick and mortar and burn thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had for mortar. They said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad. So here they're building this tower. They're trying to build this religious system to go along. Now, God didn't like it, so what did he do? He confused them, okay? Their language is there, and he messed them up. But the mother of harlots, it came from Babylon, it's kind of the mother of false religions. Now, I'm going to tell you a very abbreviated version, but there's a book called The Two Babylons by a man named Hyssop. It was written in the late 1800s, and it talks very specifically, and it's not been really debated. After Nimrod apparently died, his wife was Semiramis, and she, according to legend, had a son by the name of Tammuz. He was said to be born of a miraculous birth. With no father, she became pregnant by a sunbeam. When he grew up, one day out hunting, he was killed in an accident by a wild boar. His mom wept for him for 40 days, and as legend tells, after the 40 days, because of her weeping, Tammuz was brought back to life. In this story began the cultic worship of mother and son, with Semiramis being called the Queen of Heaven. Now, this cultic practice infiltrated many religions from then on, including one in Rome. The title given to the emperor at Rome at one time was Pontifex Maximus. When the Roman Empire lost power, the new religion, which was a marriage of the state and Christianity, that was founded by Constantine, the Catholic Church, their leader took over that title, which was the Pope. I believe that in some way the Catholic Church is going to be part of this harlot religion. You say, that's very, very harsh. If you read the history, you'll see. A lot of the Babylonian religion, and that's what the book, The Two Babylons, is all about, has been brought into the Catholic Church, the worship of Mother Mary, who is called the Queen of Heaven. The eating of the wafer was something that was in the Babylonian religion. The doctrine of purgatory, Lent, came from the 40 days of weeping. If you don't believe that a church could be as evil as we saw already, when the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast and the false prophet, they're all working through the church. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I do know that it told us that the head of the church is going to be the city on seven hills. Does anybody know what that city is? That city, yeah, it's Rome. It has historically been Rome. Throughout the Dark Ages, and if you read your history, one of the reasons they were the Dark Ages is because of the Catholic Church. At one time, the Catholic Church in the Dark Ages was actually, the Pope had more power than most of the nation's rulers. The Pope's word was law. And if you violated it, you would be put to death. He even put down some of the rulers of the nations because the nations were primarily Catholic. They were powerful. They did not like by the way, that's one of the reasons we stay with the name Baptist. We did not come out of the Catholic Church. A lot of these, starting with Martin Luther, when they had the Reformation and they realized that they were not being taught salvation by faith, they reformed and came out of the Catholic Church. But let me just tell you something. They didn't come out far enough, and eventually, I believe, during the end times, they're going to go back to their mother. Okay? We have a direct line. Not that we're the only ones. By the way, we didn't even brand ourselves Baptists. We were branded Baptists by those who persecuted us. because we rebaptize children, because they baptize children. That's the baptism of children is worthless, because you get baptized after you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what it represents. And people were put to death for that. We were put to death for reading the Bible, owning a copy of the Scriptures. And so that was all through the Dark Ages. I didn't mean to get on them a little too harshly, but that's okay. Millions were killed by the Catholic Church in those days. And I'm not saying the Catholic Church is killing people today. I'm saying that's their history. But because they were born out of a false religion and they do not preach the gospel, and many of the aspects of their religion were pulled in from the old Babylonian religion, they're headed back, and they are ripe to be brought back in and to be used, as we're going to see in a few minutes, by the Antichrist. Okay? By the way, even the Pope that they have today, I forget his name, Pope, you might as well be Dr. Phil. You know, some of his beliefs are not even what the Catholic Church in their liberalism believes, okay? And so it's going to go back. But this religion is mentioned in the Bible. Jeremiah 7:18, it says, the children gather together, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women kneel their dough and make cakes unto the Queen of Heaven. In Ezekiel chapter 8, he mentions the weeping in chapter 8, verse 14. Women sitting there weeping for Tammuz. And so this Babylonian religion that started back in Genesis has its filter and its hands on false religion going forward. And when we get to the end times, we're going to see a false religion. We're not. Those that say they believe that we're not raptured before the tribulation, if they want to see it, have at it, cowboy. But there is going to be a false religion that is very, very lethal to anybody who believes in Christ and will not follow the Antichrist. How that hall works out, I don't know. I just know where it's going to be centered and who I believe will be part of it. So as we look at this woman and we see her destruction, I want us to notice several things in this chapter, and we're really going to have to speed through it. First of all, I want you to see the ways of the woman, and that's verses 1 to 3, the ways of the woman. In other words, this woman has great influence. This religious system of the last days will have a great influence. By the way, that's why we're very, very careful in our beliefs. We're very careful with who we hook. We don't just hook up with everybody. We're not having a sunrise service, and we're not going to hook up with people that don't believe in salvation and have a sunrise service with them. We're not. Well, can't we just all get together and win Long Beach to Christ? No, you go do what you're going to do, and we're going to stay here, and we're going to preach the gospel. Because I'm not going to have to lower what we believe. I remember many years ago, I was, when we helped start a church in Florida, I oversaw a cleaning crew at a Sears. And I was there, and I had an older gentleman, and he was retired, and he was an old Baptist pastor, and he just happened to work there cleaning up. I inherited him. I remember one time he was taking a break. I'm talking to him. He goes, you know what? He knew who I was. I was a college student and so forth. He goes, you know what, Steve? I made a terrible mistake one time. He goes, they were having a sunrise service, and they were going to have a 15-minute message or something like that by seven different ministers on the seven last sayings of crossing the Christ. And they gave me one of them. I thought I could preach a good message, so I decided I would hook up with them. He goes, the guys that preached before me preached against everything I believed. He goes, and the guys that preached everything slammed everything I just said. He said, I should have never hooked up with them. Okay? We're not going to hook up with something that is false in order to try to propagate something that is true. We want to stay pure in our belief system. And the woman has great influence. She has great influence with the world. It says, the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 15 explained that. The many waters are the peoples or the multitudes or the nations of the earth. That coexist bumper that I saw, that you see, that's going to be partially fulfilled, but then it will go to the extent where you're not just allowed to coexist, you have to co-believe. You have to believe what they believe, or else you will be put to death, and we saw that. But she also has influence with the rulers. It says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. By the way, when you see fornication, that's God's way of telling you what he thinks about your belief system. If our belief system is anti-God and it's not pure to what God says, we've committed spiritual fornication. And that's what's going on here. And this religious system is going to hook up with the government. By the way, I believe in separation of church and state. The church needs to, the state needs to keep their nose out of what we do. Okay? And by the way, the separation of church and state doesn't mean that nothing Christian can be out there. That's not what that means. That's not what Thomas Jefferson means. And by the way, it's not in any of our documents. There's ignorance. That's in the Constitution. It's not in any of them. It's not in the bill. It's none of that. Thomas Jefferson was writing that to the Danbury Baptists in Virginia to comfort them to say, don't worry. The government is never going to reach out into you, church, like they did in England and tell you what to do. But there's coming a day that's going to happen in the world. They're going to overstep their boundaries. They're going to be telling the church what to do. Hey, let me just tell you something. They'll never tell us what to do. Now, if they're going to come in and they're going to say, you have to have fire alarms and fire sprinklers, okay, that's not a religious belief. I think it's, you know, if we have that little tarp out there, believe it or not, it's got to be fireproof. Because if that tarp caught on fire with four sides open, no one would be able to get out. Listen, I think that's silly. But you know what? The fire marshal isn't here because he hates people. He just wants it to be safe. And if that's what he wants, we're going to be safe. Okay? But if they tell us we can't have church, that's a different. By the way, fire marshal didn't like our friend day contracts. I'm like, that'll set the place on fire. But it's like, you know, he lived with it. But if they come here, you can't preach this and you can't believe this and you can't. Listen, they've overstepped their boundaries. That's going to happen in the end times. Now, thankfully, we won't be here. But with the world and with the rulers, with individuals, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. By the way, haven't people substituted God for the church? And let me just say this. The church, even the Christian church, is getting worse. Even the Christian, let me tell you a little story. I was talking with a pastor the other day, and he, as we were talking, he was asking about some things. He gave me a little testimony. He used to be a Catholic. He wasn't just a Catholic like going to church. He was a Catholic. He was in one of their, I forget what it was. They have some group for their best and their brightest. He was in that group and knew the priest, and he was being discipled to be a priest. He was going to go to seminary. And he said something just didn't, the priest said something like, he asked a question about something. He goes, don't worry about anything. As long as you're in the church, you're okay. And he said, you know what? That just didn't sound right. And so he said, there's got to be a truth. And he found the gospel of all places on television. And he heard the gospel, and he got saved. He said, he went back, told the priest, I can't go to church with you anymore. You're wrong. I can't explain it to you, but I found Jesus. Now, here's the sad thing. And this is probably 25, 30 years ago. He said, I didn't know who I should hang out with. He goes, I started hanging around with some Calvary Chapel guys. I'm not trying to be mean to Calvary Chapel. He said, and can I just tell you something? He goes, I lived worse as a saved man hanging with the Calvary Chapel than I did as an unsaved person with the Catholic priest. That's what we're trying to, the church is trying to bring the world into the church, and there's going to be a time when the world is going to reach into the church and say, now here's what you have to do. Why in the world would we want to be like that? That was free, had nothing to do with anything. Also, here's the biggest thing. The church in that day, the woman on the beast will have influence over the beast. It says, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of name of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns. She is riding the beast. She has such great influence there. The prostitute church, the end time, has two faces, apostasy and religion. And by the way, you go to 1 Timothy, that was spoken of. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Imagine how much worse it's going to be when all the Christians are out of this world. So we saw that. We saw also, I want you to notice the wardrobe of the woman. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. By the way, do you know harlots dress a certain way? Because they're trying to draw attention to themselves. Well, this harlot is dressing a way to draw attention to herself and bring people in. She's using prosperity. This false church has so many. You've heard it from missionaries before, how they'll be in some of the poorest countries in the world, and they'll see a church out in the middle of there from one of these groups, and it's ornate. It's not. It's just over the top in its wealth. Some of the churches are very, very, very wealthy. This church will be. But also, there's the wickedness of the woman in verse 5. And upon her head was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, not just harlots, and abominations of the earth. The name Mystery Babylon, of course, reveals again that the city is associated with the city of seven hills, as we will see later. But notice that, abominations of the earth. It saddens me. You cannot drive around now. And this is totally politically incorrect, but that's okay. You can smoke it in your pipe any way you want. You can drive to, you go around in churches, it seems like their goal now is to promote transgenderism and homosexuality and diversity. The church is taking the filth and the garbage that the unsaved world is pushing. And I understand the unsaved world, they don't know Christ. And the church is now buying into it. By the way, say, oh, that's the liberal. That's the churches that are totally devoid of the gospel. No, Southern Baptist Church is bringing it in too. It's spreading like a wildfire. Whatever happened to the gospel? Whatever happened, instead of accepting people's sins, now before you yell, I didn't say accepting people. I said accepting their sins. Where we tried to tell them the truth so they could be transformed. Now we just, it's okay. As long as you're here and you're on the roll, it's all good. You know, sing some worship song and feel good about yourself. That's what this harlot is going to do. All the abominations we see. It's bad enough that it's in the world, but now it's in, I wouldn't call them churches because they don't preach the gospel, but it's in what the world sees as churches. It's a very scary thing, to be sure. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs. Very, very wicked in what they're promoting, and very wicked in their treatment. And then we see the working of this woman. She's part of this political empire. The angel said unto me, verse 7, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee, mister, the woman and the beast which carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not, and shall abend out of the bottomless pit, the Antichrist, and shall go into perdition. It's happening someday. And they that dwell in the 12th earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the life. In other words, as you look through these here, and it tells us in verse 9 that it's a city on seven hills. This woman, and then the verses that follow after there, that's the coming world empire. Okay, with the 10 horns, it's a confederation of 10 countries of some type with the Antichrist as its head, but it's going to be lockstep with this woman. Then I want us to see the warfare of the woman. Verse 13, these have one mind, all these political rulers in the previous verses, they have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. False religions are never content to just lead people astray from God. They are compelled to persecute those who do not follow them. Have you ever noticed that? That's what it is. How come when they talk about tolerance in our country, they mean every single religion except for Christianity? They do. This nutcase, I don't know if she's a representative in Minnesota, who is Islamic. She's not a Muslim. She's Muslim, but she's Islamic in her beliefs. Very anti-Semitic. Says whatever she wants, and they just. But if somebody of a conservative nature, they say whatever, you know, it's just double standard. Christian says something or even halfway out of line, they're thrown out. The political speak of our day. But here's the part that this false religion doesn't understand. Why she thinks that she is kind of part of this group and in some sense maybe even a little bit leading. She's nothing more than being used by the Antichrist. He's using her to gain his power. Remember this, the Antichrist, the first half of the tribulation, he's going to have peace. Now, there's still going to be judgments from God. But his thing is peace. And then he's got this false religion now, kind of getting people in line. And as it gets closer and closer and the persecution's coming, and then there's going to come a point where he's like, I am God, I don't need you anymore. And they're going to take down the church, the false church. He won't need them. And that's what we see at the end of this chapter. Verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the war are peoples and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. In other words, she's outlived her usefulness. We don't need her anymore. I've got this under control. And for a set amount of time, she will take it out of the way because she is no longer needed. Verse 17, it says, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. That's interesting. God's had enough of it. And then, so he gets the Antichrist and these world rulers, and he uses them to fulfill his will, like, take her out. It's done. For all of the evil and all of the wickedness. And then we move to chapter number 18. Now we're going to see the destruction of the ruling Babylon. First, the political Babylon goes down, no longer needed. But the political Babylon is going to go down also. Now someone asked, is this a literal city that is going to be taken down? I believe it is. I believe this city of Babylon is going to be the seat of the Antichrist power. Maybe where he rules from. Many felt that the literal city of Babylon would be rebuilt. Saddam Hussein endeavored to rebuild the city of Babylon when he was still around, thinking that he would like be some modern day Nebuchadnezzar. That didn't work out really well for him. I don't believe that this, I don't personally believe with the time frame involved that it will be the rebuilt city. You know, some people have tried to say, is it Jerusalem or is it all these places? I don't know exactly where it is. Could be maybe in Rome. I don't know. But I know this, it's going to be where his seat of power is. The center of his commercial empire. And God's going to take it down fairly quickly. I want you to see their expiration is proclaimed in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 18. And after these things I saw another angel came down from heaven with great power. The earth was enlightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and some it has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. So basically, the angel comes down and says, it's over. By the way, I remember some of you guys may have been there, Brother Ross and others, many, many, many years ago, we went to a youth conference, and someone preached a very eloquent message, and probably, you know, a bunch of people were called to preach about Babylon being destroyed. He said it was America. I just don't get that. Especially when he read the verses, he would read the verse, I'd read the next verse. I'm like, yeah, but what about that verse? That's not Babylon. That's not America. But anyhow, whatever it is, wherever the center is, it's going down. And it says it's coming quickly. He had a vast empire. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have waxed witched through the abundance of the delicacies. Just as a religious harlot seduced the world into a false religion, this economic, commercial harlot will seduce the world into living for pleasure and passion. You know that verse in 2 Timothy, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. By the way, that to me is even stronger, I guess, temptation for most than even the religious one. Everybody wants to be rich, right? I mean, people live for stuff. The stuff people give their lives to is just amazing. With the technology we have, it's just incredible. I saw a video, I don't know if you saw it, Joseph. There was a concert in China recently. 20,000 people sold out to hear a hologram sing. Wasn't he? Where's Cindy? I don't know if you've heard the name. I saw the video. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's a lot of these single guys out there. I love her. I forget her name. Was Tinga Wonga or whatever. I don't know. It's some weird name. She's like the most popular singer in China, and she's a hologram. It's like, really? I wouldn't go to a concert in the first place. But to watch a non-existent entity sing? That's just weird. But that's technology. I remember when it talks about they'll worship the image of the beast? I don't know. But this commercial and all this popularity and all this nonsense, it's being set in place because people love that. People put their morality over here when it gets in way of their profits. I'll just be honest with you. Gotta get a witness. It's like some of you, you know, businessmen, they have their business finances, and it's almost like they use their business as a shelter from tithing. Now I understand you can there's benefits, tax benefits, but it's like, okay, don't shelter your money away from God. But anyhow, that's a sermon for another day. But their empire was very vast. And they're evil. They're evil. God noticed they're evil, verse 4. And he says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. This is a call for God's people not to become entangled with this world system. Those that are getting saved in the end time, he goes, listen, don't be, it's not saying, you know, you have your bills to pay and all that, but don't get caught up in the commercialism and the glitz and glamour of this world, because it's coming to an end right now. But we do. Why is it going to be destroyed? Verse 5, for her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You know, it's interesting. They tried to build the Tower of Babel to get into heaven. They didn't, but one thing did get to heaven from Babylon, their evil sins. It's amazing what people will do in the name of pleasure and prosperity. They'll throw their morals out the door. They'll do all kinds of ridiculous things if it's profitable. The issue for us as Christians is it profitable? What's our question? Is it right? Sometimes it's. Wednesday, I went with the girls to IKEA. Sometimes it's a bummer to be a Christian. And we bought a couple pieces of furniture for the house. And the girls, one of the things we bought had four boxes. Should have brought one of the boys with me. I didn't have to load it by myself, especially when I was sick. And then something else we bought was one box. So I had the five boxes stacked up there. We had some other stuff, and the girl was, you know, shooting it with a little gun. And I wasn't really paying attention. I'm thinking, man, I don't think she scanned that bottom box. And you know, something inside of me said, well, you're not for sure, just don't ask. And I said, but Alma, that's not the right thing to do. She wasn't there, I'm sorry. Seriously. And I'm like, you know, I'm not sure. And after all, if she didn't scan it, that's her bad. And I'm like, ma'am, there was actually two items. That box on the bottom is different. I'm not sure you scanned it. Did you? She goes, I didn't. $199. I'm like, man. I could have given that to the building. Stinks to be saved, I'm just telling you. Listen, I'm not gonna throw my morals out the door. Because to be honest with you, if I came home and I figured it out, I'd go back. I know I'm stupid. Pray for me. But we just throw our morals out the door for what? A bowl of pottage? That's why this is so gonna be. Look, Christians are gone, right? Woo, the economy is soaring. We can get good stuff. Let's go. Let's not. But their end is quick. Look at verse 6 and 7. Reward her even as she hath rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works, in the cup that she hath filled to her double. How much longer has she, how has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in heart, I am a queen and no man shall see my sorrow. verse 8 tells us, therefore shall her plagues come in one day. It's going to be quick. God is going to have enough of it. We're getting to the end of time. It's time to deal with the Antichrist. It's time to deal with his whole world system, which has been horrible and has killed individuals, has persecuted, has been blasphemous. And God's like, enough's enough. And this isn't even something that's going to take an amount of time. It's just, it's over. It's done. If you look also, you'll see in verses 11 through 16 and 17, the emotion of the earth. The earth is sad. And by the way, the earth is sad if you read through those verses because they were getting rich. They were making money. They didn't care. You know, their meal ticket was taken out. But on the flip side, there's excitement in heaven. Look at verse 20. It says, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you of her. Oh, isn't it sad that their end had to come like that? That's not how God sees it. We're talking about horrible evil, the likes of which has never been seen on this earth. You think of the worst world rulers on this earth, and there has been many. The beginning of the Russian communists, they killed millions and millions of millions of people. Communist countries and Muslim countries have killed millions of people that have not gotten in line. Hitler was nothing, and he was evil. The Antichrist and that whole system will be way worse than that. They're getting what they deserve. It's time for this whole thing to come to an end. That's righteous indignation on God's part. Now, what is the conclusion? The Antichrist has set atop, during this tribulation, a worldwide political, economical, and religious empire. But it was very short. And just like Humpty Dumpty, he is going to take a fall, but he will not be just like Humpty Dumpty rebuilt. It'll be over. So what is the message for us? Here it is. Doctrinal purity and prosperital purity. Let's stay right in our doctrinal beliefs. Let's not just because we're being criticized, just because the world is changing. By the way, the stuff the world that's changing 20, 30 years ago, the unsaved people wouldn't have agreed with it. Just because, you know, well, you can't say anything here, political double speech. Listen, we're going to preach the gospel and we're going to stay straight with the Bible. But also, that usually doesn't trip up people, although it does trip up some. It's the material aspect. We'll give into that. I read this in one of my books I was looking at. It says, even as Christians today, we dare not underestimate the satanic lure of materialism, prosperity, human comforts, and the pursuit of pleasure. Babylon still tugs at the flesh of every human being. It flirts with our moral sensibilities and calls us to indulge ourselves in that which would destroy us. Babylon is not yet dead. Her music can still be heard. Her builders are hard at work, for commercial enterprises still attract us away from the spiritual and eternal, but not for long. Just think of that verse. He says, my people, come out from them. Let's not be, you know, as we look at what we face in our life, we look at the things that trips up Christians on a regular basis in our society. When we get to these chapters, we see the end of the matter. And seeing the end of the matter, we might want to step back because we're not there and think, how can I let that trip me up now? I see God's perspective on it. I see where, in its worst form, where it is heading. Why would I want to be involved in that? Why would I want to be tripped up by that? Come out of her and be careful. Let's all stand this evening.